Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
In Ruth chapter 3, verses 14 to 18, we find some very great practical truths that we call dating lessons from Ruth and Boaz. Let's read the passage. Ruth chapter 3, verse 14. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." Also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Now you look at that and you think, well, what great practical truths for dating lessons can you find from a passage like that? Well, there are several. Matter of fact, we're going to look at 6 today. And you would be wise to observe these if you aren't married. And if you are married, you'd be wise to teach these to your children. Now let's go right into the text and see what we have here. Because it's obvious today that a lot of people don't have good parameters on courting or good parameters on dating. And anytime you can find something in the scripture that gives you a good handle on the Bible's view or a good lesson from somebody else's life, you ought to follow it. First of all, notice while they dated, they didn't sleep together. You see that? She lay at his feet until the morning and rose up before one could know another. I know, as we discussed in our prior lesson, this is a very unusual arrangement here. This is not the kind of thing that you would see happen today. You wouldn't go to your boyfriend's house and lay down at the foot of his bed, you know, and then when he stirs himself in the middle of the night, you'd just like, "What are you doing here?" and say, "Well, you know, spread thy skirt over me." For one thing, he wouldn't be wearing a skirt. But that's what happened here, and as we, you know, discussed in our prior lesson, that's not uncommon or uncanny to this time in which, you know, we're studying. Obviously, it wasn't anything that took Ruth or Naomi or Boaz by surprise at all. It was something very understandable, okay? But notice, she lay at his feet, and she rose up before one could know another. So they didn't sleep together. And you say, well, what's the significance of that? Because today it seems like anybody that's planning on getting married sleeps together to find out whether or not they're going to be compatible. Well, there's something very, very wrong with that, according to the Bible, and we're going to look at some of those things. Number one, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." What does he say? It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Because it leads to fornication. Okay, and unfortunately, for this generation particularly, displays of sex are just everywhere. Okay? And so it's so commonplace, people just say, well, this is what others do, and this is what I'm going to do. But that's not what you do. According to the Bible, you avoid fornication, and then when you do have an opportunity to marry, then you have your own wife, and she has her own husband, and that's it. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's important to remember something. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, "What, know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. we've discussed this before, but what happens very simply is that if a person enjoys, as I say, the privileges of marriage before the marriage, then as far as the Bible is concerned, they've already joined flesh with flesh, and now they are one, just like Adam and Eve were in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Or just like we are with the church in Ephesians chapter 5. You say, well, I didn't want to be that committed to this relationship. I was just, whatever, looking for a good time and if things worked out and la-di-da-di-da. No, you need to understand scripturally what's going on here. Hebrews chapter 13 is very clear about the bed. Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So marriage is an honorable thing, and the bed is undefiled, but only in marriage. And otherwise, you've got a defiling situation going on there, and Ruth and Boaz would not allow themselves to explore that, okay? They understood that the marriage should take place before the physical pleasures. And so they preserve that. You'd be wise, if you're not married, to remember that. You don't sleep together before you marry. You say, well, we intend to marry and, you know, we're just waiting on the wedding date. Well, then move the wedding date up. You say, well, we don't want to do that because we've got all these big plans. Look, you know, a lot of people spend an awful lot of time and effort on the plans, and they spend an awful lot of money on the plans, and that whole thing is over in a day. In less than a day. I've watched it so many times where the bride and the bride's family are just stressed beyond all measure, and then the wedding finally takes place, and things don't go exactly like they were planned, and then there are some difficulties on the honeymoon, and you know how that all goes. Look, listen, the idea of being married is something that's very, very special. Just remember this. Don't put the privileges of marriage before the marriage. And you can go into the rest of the details yourself. All right, here's the next thing they did. They protected their testimony. That's right, they protected their testimony. Look at verse 14. She lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came under the floor. In other words, don't go talk about this. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's right. Or abstain from the appearance of all evil. I think it's the way it's actually quoted. Abstain from the appearance of all evil. That is, you need to be concerned about your testimony. And they were. Abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. What does that mean? That doesn't mean you slunk around and do bad things that you're not supposed to do and then make it out like you're not doing those bad things. No, he's not talking about that at all. They didn't do anything. But they didn't even take any chances that others might suppose that they had done something wrong. They protected their testimony. You know, we made a mention of this briefly yesterday, but in social networking, people are not careful about their testimony. You realize the world reads what you're putting there? And they read it in the context that they want to read it in and not in the context that you wrote it. And you need to think about that. Listen, Boaz was very, very concerned for Ruth's reputation. She had the reputation in that town of being a virtuous woman. And he wasn't about to let this episode destroy her reputation by spreading some sort of rumor that she'd come to visit him that night and was up to something when she did. They didn't take chances with that. He wasn't going to speak badly about her in public, and she wasn't going to speak badly about him in public. It's an amazing thing when people date and something happens that's privately intimate or something happens that's very special, how suddenly people are just, I mean, they just want to make that the news of the town and let everybody know what's going on. They were not. They were more private than that. They didn't want anybody to misunderstand anything. Listen, they were concerned about each other's reputation, and you should be as well. To hear some people that have married talk about their spouses and the things that they have done and the things, you know, that they're critical of, that stuff should never be done. In all of the discussions that my wife and I have had over various things that, you know, couples have to deal with when they're married for as long as we've been married, we never picked up the phone and called home. to blab and to, you know, and one person said, and I think they were very wise when they said it, don't ever, ever tell me anything bad about your spouse, because I love you and I'm going to take up for you. If you ever tell me anything bad about your spouse, I'm going to hate this person and I don't want to hate him. Now, I know that's a little bit off the track about protecting the testimony here, but you get the idea. He says, just don't talk about it. Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Because people draw their own conclusions. All right? And you need to be careful about that. Listen, you should not allow yourself to ever be in a place where somebody could suspect that you had done something wrong. For instance, traveling together and spending the night together in a hotel room, but maybe nothing has happened, but everybody's going to assume that something did. And then if you tell everybody that your wife is pure, they're going to scratch their head and say, really? All right, here's the next thing. They didn't sleep together. They protected their testimony, but here's something else. He honored her and her mother with gifts. Look at verse 15. He said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. Verse 17, and she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. He gave her something that was very helpful to her and very helpful to her mother-in-law, whom we're going to call her mother for most of this broadcast. Because truly, they did have a relationship like a mother and a daughter. And when he gave her this gift, he honored her. It's very important to remember something. It's very important to remember, man, that the woman you hope to marry is someone else's daughter and has been for all of her life. And you are wise to think about that when you have the opportunity to do something nice for her and nice for her mother or nice for her parents. In 1 Peter chapter 3 in verses 7 and 8, we're in the middle of a context and somewhat making a broad application here. But the Bible says to husbands, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, dwell with them, speaking about your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And that's exactly what Boaz was. And that was a very special thing that he did for Ruth, a very special thing that he did for Naomi. He honored her when he gave her that gift, and he honored her mother. As I said, we'll call Naomi, the mother-in-law, her mother, because that was the type of relationship that Naomi had with Ruth by the time they made it over here. I think it's always important for men to remember this. This whole society, again, in which we live, exploits women. And women willingly allow themselves to be exploited with so much advertising and attention on the bodies these days. But you have to remember something. Every one of those people grew up in somebody's home as a loving daughter. And you'd be wise to remember that, and wise to remember the parents that brought her into this world. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he was very careless in his relationship with a young lady, and they got pregnant, and they weren't married. And they had a girl. And I asked him how he loved his daughter, and he just said, I would do anything in the world for that little girl. And I said, what about when she's older? What about then? Said, I'm not going to let her be treated the same way that I treated her mother. Isn't that an amazing thing, how a man's perception of a woman changes when he considers parenthood? You ought to keep that in mind and remember to honor her parents. That's what Boaz did. Next thing, while they dated, they didn't sleep together. They protected their testimony. He honored her mother, her and her mother, with gifts. And next thing, she was completely honest with her mother. Look at verse 16. When she came to her mother-in-law, this is Ruth 3:16. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. Don't you know if what they had done was not right, that that explanation would have been a very interesting conversation? Interestingly, daughters often discuss everything with mom. So be very careful what you say and do. Because she was completely honest with her mother. As a matter of fact, it's important to remember that she didn't do anything that she had to hide from her mother. And she included her mother in the developments of their relationship. You know, you say, well, her mother sure is nosy. I don't know every mother that has ever lived, but I think most mothers who have raised their daughters and who are close to them are going to know an awful lot about the relationship that their daughter is having with a young man that she hopes to marry. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21, in a context that's much different than this one, but in a spiritual truth that is very accurately the same, 2 Corinthians 8:21 says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You consider what she's going to tell her mother. Very much ought to guide some of the things that you do in the relationship, and some of the things, more importantly, that you don't do, and some of the things you say in the relationship, and some of the things that you don't say, because they may be repeated. And listen, young lady, you ought to have the type of relationship with a young man where you can be absolutely, totally, 100% honest with your mother about the relationship and have nothing to hide. I've watched young ladies get into relationships and they've had something to hide. And then after a while, they couldn't hide what they had been doing because she began to show. And all along, mother wanted to be, you know, hopeful that her daughter was maintaining a good relationship with this young boy, but all the time worried that maybe she wasn't, and indeed find out later that she hadn't been. Not a good thing for your mother to find out later that you've gotten pregnant or that you've gotten STDs or you've done something now where you've hurt yourself, because your mother's going to know that if you stand at the altar with another man some days later to marry, that there was a very involved relationship before that. Just remember all those things. Dating lessons from Ruth and Boaz, we call this. They didn't sleep together. They protected their testimony. He honored her and her mother with gifts. She was completely honest with her mother. And notice this in verse 18, they were patient. Verse 18, then she said, that is, Naomi said to Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall." Naomi told Ruth to sit still. You know what happens? Oftentimes a girl pushes a friendship into a romance because that is what she wants. However, you got to remember something, that what you want may not be what God wants. And what she wants for herself may not be what God wants for her. Psalm 27 and verse 14, very, very explicit here, and I think it's very, very important to make application to this particular situation, that is, a dating relationship. Psalm 27, verse 14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. It's very, very important. I remember counseling with a young couple. Oh, it's been a couple of years now when they began their dating relationship. And we talked about these very matters here. Just these things that are here. I wasn't thinking about Ruth when we did, but these are very practical matters here. And I told him, I said, you better be patient. And I told her, you better be patient. You know, I found out from visiting with them that she wanted to marry him, or let me put it this way, she made her intentions known of a desire to marry him before he made his intentions to her known that he wanted to marry her. And I'm talking about not to each other, but in talking to me. And she asked me about that. What am I going to do here? Because what if he doesn't want to marry me, but I want to marry him? Should I really wait another year to find out what his intentions are? And this is what I told her. If you want to marry him, you're going to have to wait until he does make his intentions known. And I made sure to tell her, don't push this relationship into a romance just because that's what you want. You've got to find out whatever the Lord wants. And in fact, if the Lord wants this to become a marriage, then he's going to deal with your future husband about that himself, and you can wait patiently for the outcome, and should. People aren't patient today. They want what they want, and they want it now. And you can't do that when it comes to things like this. God has to have time to reveal his will. And you say, well, why would the Lord wait a year, for instance, to reveal his will? Mainly, one thing that comes to mind right away is timing. Sometimes one of you, either the husband or the wife, has to grow up some more. In other words, if you were to marry now, it might be disastrous. If you wait a year, it might work out fine. Sometimes it's a matter of getting the finances in order. Sometimes it's a matter of finishing some job or some education without distraction until the marriage. Sometimes it's just a proving ground of causing the hearts to grow fonder. I was reading some instructions from a military commander, and he said to his young soldiers, he said, be careful about getting into relationships. This life of a soldier is a very hard thing, and not every woman is cut out for this. And sometimes good men are hampered in a bad relationship, so just take it easy. And that was at the advice of Naomi to Ruth, sit still. They were patient. Somebody may say, well, we know you and you weren't very patient in your relationship. Truly, but I wouldn't recommend the way I did this at all to you. I'm telling you what the Bible says, and I'm telling you, listen, what you read in here is absolutely scripturally right. They were patient. And then in verse 18, notice this. She let him decide the matter. Naomi said to Ruth, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. She let him decide the matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says, the head of every woman is the man. Boy, I bet you didn't like me saying that at all. But it's Bible. Okay? I would have you know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:3. That the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, in this story, this historical account of Ruth and Boaz, Boaz had to notify the nearer of kin of his rights and of his duties that came with those rights, and that he could marry Ruth. But once the man revealed that he wasn't interested in marrying Ruth, then Boaz was free to marry her. Okay, they had to get that cleared up. So we understand, and you read this, you may be thinking, well, preacher, you're just drawing a lot into this. She didn't really let him decide the matter. The other man had to decide. Well, not exactly. We're making an application here that is true, because once the man made his, you know, notice to the nearer of kin, and the guy said that he wouldn't marry, then Boaz made it clear to everybody that he would, and that he would redeem the land, and he would take care of Ruth, and so forth. All right? So during this time, Ruth had to wait for Boaz to make the decision. She had to follow his instructions in the proper way to prepare for this marriage. I think it's very important to understand, it is wise for you, young lady, to get used to being in submission to your spiritual head. Just like Ephesians 5, 22 to 24 says, just like 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 say. You gotta get used to that. I know our society is all not about that these days. As a matter of fact, when I do the traditional wedding vows and speak to the wife and ask her to repeat that she will, among other things, obey him, you'll hear giggles in the audience sometimes. Her? These days? That's so old. May I tell you something? It's so right. God is going to lead your husband in spiritual decisions, and he is going to lead you and your family in those same spiritual decisions. You say, well, he doesn't follow God. Then you have no business marrying him. You say, well, he follows God, but I'm not a submissive woman. Then you don't have any business being married. This is dating lessons from Ruth and Boaz. They're not adaptable to your peculiarities that are anti-scriptural. Do you understand? So remember that when Ruth and Boaz dated, six things are in Ruth 3, 14 to 18 that you want to remember. Number one, they didn't sleep together. Remember that. You say, well, people, it doesn't make any difference what people are doing today. I know folks that got married, and the first kiss that either one of them ever had from the opposite sex, except for a parent or a brother or sister, was at the altar right then. Okay? They didn't sleep together. They protected their testimony. He honored her and her mother with gifts. She was completely honest with her mother about their relationship. They were patient, and she let him decide.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
The matter. You'd be wise to follow those lessons in your relationships or teach them to your children to follow in their relationships. Amen.